You're listening to the Church on the Move Roswell podcast. We hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Thanks for listening. Let's check it out.
Listen, we're talking about the spirit of faith. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith. So we also first believe, then speak in faith. You know, you can't even get saved without believing in your heart and speaking out of your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. We have to believe it in our heart and speak it out of our mouth. The problem with some people when it comes to the spirit of faith, they're doing a lot of speaking, but they're not doing a lot of believing. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. You have to get to a place where the word of God, you've so soaked in the word, you've so gotten deep in the word that it goes from just being knowledge to transformational. You know, a lot of people have knowledge, but they haven't been transformed. They have knowledge of the promises of God, but it hasn't transformed their heart where they're like, man, I'm not just speaking it. I'm not just trying to make this happen. I believe that God has promised it and already has made it happen, and I'm just getting in agreement, not just with my mouth, but with my heart. I'm getting in agreement with God's word. I believe, therefore I speak. You have to believe, then speak. And so, man, that's an important thing, and we're going to talk more about that here in a moment, but I'm going to read you some scriptures, and you don't have to turn to them. I'm just going to read them. I've got them written down. So Romans 8:7 says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Psalms 108:13 says, with God we will gain the victory, and he will trample down our enemies. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Ephesians 6:12 says, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And Ephesians 6:10 says, finally be strong in the Lord in his mighty power to overcome those things that's spoken about in Ephesians 6:12. It is so important that we know the word, we understand the word, that God gives us not just knowledge but understanding, that we take it from head knowledge to heart knowledge. Otherwise, we believe it in our hearts above everything. You know, the only thing I can equate it to is, you know, I've said this many times, that I don't do a lot of pre-marriage counseling, because once people are in love, it's just like, you can tell them, I mean, you can't tell them anything. They're in love. You can't tell them, hey, I don't know if this is going to work. I've told people. I told one young man to not marry this young lady, and I told this young lady that she shouldn't get married because she had no desire to be physical. And I'm like, hey, you can't go into marriage. He has expectations, and I'm telling you this, and it ended in divorce. But he was so in love, he wouldn't listen. And she was so in love, she wouldn't listen. And it ended very ugly. Very ugly. You know, because they believed in their heart. They're in love. I mean, and that's a negative example, but we got to get to that place that we're in love with God, and that we believe his word above everything. That no one can talk us out of it. No one was going to talk me out of marrying Julie Jean Johnson, was her name then. JJJ, Triple J. No one was going to talk me out of marrying her. No one. No one was. People questioned it. My family questioned, just because, you know, I was the favorite uncle and the best friend and the babysitter, and, you know, I was... You know, I ate dinner at their houses all the time. And so when I stopped showing up, boy, it hurt their feelings. And Julie had the same experience with her family, because she was that aunt. And we were the only ones not married in our family that didn't have children and weren't married. And so they counted on us a lot. And that stopped. And so they were kind of negative about some of it. But it didn't matter to us. We're in love. We believed we were called to be married to each other, and we're in love. And so there was nothing going to convince us that we weren't getting married and that we weren't in love and that we weren't going to make it. And that's the kind of, you know, faith works through love. We have to understand how much God loves us and that he's committed to us. We talk about the death of Jesus a lot. We have a whole holiday we call Easter that we celebrate his death and on Good Friday and his resurrection, you know, on Sunday. And, man, we have a whole, whole thing built around those moments. But, man, it's one big testimony of I love you. It's one big I love you. And, man, when we understand how much he loves us, faith will begin to grow. Because I know Julie loves me, when she says things to me, I believe it. Someone say amen. When you know someone loves you and they say things to you, you believe them. You trust that what they say is true. And when we understand how much God loves us, he loves us more than any human being, any of your puppies. I wouldn't mention cats, but I don't think cats love anybody. They're just doing their own thing, you know. But, more than your children, more than you love your children, God loves you. God loves your children more than you love your children. And when we understand that, that's supposed to grow our faith. When we're just convinced, God loves me, so this is going to work out. God loves me because what he promised and said he would do, I believe he'll, I believe he'll do. Listen, go with me to Mark chapter 5. There's just a couple of great illustrations in the Bible on the spirit of faith. This is one of the great ones. Mark chapter 5, we're going to look it up on the screen. Verse 25, starting in verse 25. We're going to read the whole thing, and I might stop along the way and teach some on it. But So it says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. She was sick for 12 years. Next verse. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather growing worse. I just want you to see the circumstances she's in. A lot of times we've heard this message. We've seen this. Maybe some of you haven't. But man, she's sick for 12 years. She spent every dime she has on doctors. So now she's not only sick, but she is destitute. She's broken. Everything in her life is lost. Her health, her finances, and because she has a flow of blood, when women would have any kind of menstrual cycle, they had to be separated for 7 days and couldn't be in any crowd or around. They had to isolate for 7 days because they were mean to everybody. No, I'm kidding. I'm just joking. Just a joke. Should have saved that for Forged. Anyway, but for the men's, we get in trouble with that one. But she's supposed to be isolated for 12 years. She's alone. She's like a leper. She's alone. She's sick. She's broke. All is lost. She's getting worse and worse and worse. She's about to die. You can only go on so long like that. I mean, she's in trouble. You can't be any worse than this. But something happens. Something happens. Next verse. When she heard about, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Next verse. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Next verse. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. So someone had told her about Jesus. That not only about him, but that he had the power to heal. And she believed it. She believed it. She heard about Jesus. Have you heard about Jesus? That he has the power to heal, to change circumstances, to impact change. Now, one of the things that people want him to do that he does not do, he'll influence, but he will not override someone's free will. So you can forget about saying, I'm going to pray to that guy marries me, or I'm going to pray to that girl marries me. If she's not interested in you, he's not going to override her free will. Just not going to happen. He'll influence them. He'll encourage them if it's the right thing for them and if it's the right thing according to his word, but he will not override free will. But when it comes to you and you believing for what he has promised you, healing and these other areas of your life, spiritual giftings, healing, deliverance, all the there's thousands of promises that God has made about your children, about circumstances and situations, about multiplying things. I mean, God's made a bunch of promises. You've heard about Jesus. The only difference between those who hear about him and those who actually experience his power being manifested is that they have a spirit of faith gets on them. A spirit of faith got on her. We just read it. She believed when she heard that he had the power to heal, and she began to do what immediately? Speak, yes. She began to speak. If I just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed. All I have to do is touch. I don't even have to touch him. I just touch his clothes. All I got to do is touch his prayer cloth. All I got to do is touch the hem of his garment. I'm going to be healed. She began to speak it, and she spoke it over and over and over and over again because she believed it. She believed it was true. And immediately she was healed. Immediately. Next verse. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that what? Power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Now, go ahead and go to the next verse. But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? People were touching him out of curiosity. People were touching him thinking like magic, like if I can just, you know, be like a magic trick. People probably inadvertently bumping into him, accidentally being pushed into him because he was being thronged. So all kinds of people are touching him. But he only stops and asks who touched him when someone touches him in faith. Man, you can be in a crowd of people. We can be in this whole crowd in this auditorium, whole crowd online. But he's going to move. Power is going to be exerted from his kingdom, from heaven, to you and me, only if we touch him with faith. Whole throng of people could be praying. A whole throng of people could be saying, I know this promise. I'm standing on this promise. They could even be speaking the promise, but until it gets in their heart, you have to believe it in your heart first. You have to get it deep inside of you that no one can talk you out of it. No circumstance, no situation. Her circumstances are horrible. 12 years, worse, broke, isolated. She has a ton of obstacles in her way. A ton of obstacles. But she doesn't allow those obstacles to move her. She doesn't even pray for those obstacles to move. She just walks right over the obstacles. She's not supposed to be in public. She's not supposed to. Many people believe, some believe she was Jewish, some believe she was not even Jewish. Religiously, she's not supposed to be touching him because she's unclean if she's not a Jew. She's unclean because she's got a flow of blood. There's so many obstacles in her way from religion to the crowd. You know, sometimes, man, when you have a spirit of faith, you have to fight through the crowd. Because there's a crowd of people that want something from God and not necessarily want you to have something from God. But she didn't let any of it get in her way. The spirit of faith says, I don't care what you throw at me, devil. I don't care how many obstacles are in my way. I'm walking over those obstacles till I get what God promised for me. Just going to walk through all the obstacles. There's not a moment in time where you're going to need, where you have to have a spirit of faith, that there's not going to be obstacles. There's not going to, you're needing it and you're applying it because there's a problem. There's some situation or something that you're trying to acquire or some problem you're trying to overcome. There's always something that needs to happen. That's why you need the spirit of faith. That's why we all need it. And it's amazing. Can you imagine if there had been 50 people with a spirit of faith on them? What would have happened? That might have happened, not just for her, but if 50 touched him and that happened, it might have inspired another 50. It might have inspired another 50. If 50 would have had a spirit of faith. Can you imagine when we start hearing, this person's healed, this person's healed, this person's healed, this child's healed. This person in wheelchairs healed. This person's healed. This person was dead and was raised from the dead. Can you imagine what's going to happen if it's like popcorn? Pop, 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 pop. Miracle upon miracle. 1, 2, 3, 4. I can't even count them all. That's what the song says. Miracle upon miracle, because the spirit of faith has grown so much inside of us and grown so much inside of our church that, man, people see the spirit. It'll inspire. It'll inspire others to get in faith and start really believing God and start believing it in their heart, getting it in their heart and speaking it out of their mouth. She did everything she was supposed to do. Listen, when you believe it in your heart and you speak it out of your mouth, there's one thing left to do, and that's to act on it. She heard he could heal. She believed it. She began to speak it, and then she fought through the obstacles, and she acted on her faith. Listen, there's always two parts to everything, whether it's healing, provision, deliverance, whatever it is, you know, circumstances, mountains moving, Goliath coming down, or you're just believing God. It doesn't have to be a negative. It could be something you're believing God for that to take place. There's two things. There's two parts to every one of those situations. There's God's part. In our part. There's God's part in our part. You know, I think about every single time God did these major miracles, someone had to do their part. When he multiplied the bread and the fish, that little boy did his part. He brought that and dedicated, said, okay, you guys can have it. Jesus can have it. Do whatever you want to with it. He acted. That little boy acted. And God moved. And God moved. I think about the man at Siloam, the springs, that when you said, what did he do? Jesus just showed up and healed him. No, 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 no. Jesus said, get up. What if he would have said, I can't get up. I've tried to get up all these years. I just told you I've been trying to get up, and I can't get up. What if he'd have said that? I'm telling you, he'd have died there on that ground. He'd have died crippled. But you know what he did? He acted when Jesus spoke it to him and made a promise to him and said, get up. He got up. Another man, he said, get up and take your mat. He didn't say, I can't take my mat. I've been carried. My friends carried me here. I can't go anywhere. They had to carry my mat. I can't even carry my. He didn't start using excuses. He didn't start speaking that. He just got up and grabbed his mat. He acted on his faith. Well, I wonder what would have happened when Jesus put mud in the guy's eye and said, go wash it off. If he'd have said, no, I don't want to wash it off. I wonder what would have happened if he just said, no, man, what is washing mud off my eyes going to do for my blindness? Come on, man, what's wrong with you? I just heard someone said, you spit in this mud. He's blind. He didn't see it. But someone might have said, hey, did you see Jesus? He just spit in that mud and rubbed it in that guy's eyes. I think, what are you spitting here? What do you mean, spit in my eyes? That's where we get that saying, here's mud in your eye. And so, guys, I mean, if he doesn't go wash it off, and then he comes back and Jesus said, does it, prays for him again. I mean, guys, listen. Even when the prophet Elijah told the captain of the Philistines, he said, go wash off in the Jordan, dip 10 times. If he wouldn't have acted, I mean, he wasn't going to act, and his second told him, man, come on. His servant said, come on, do it. What do you got to lose? Go ahead and do it. Because he said, I'm not going to do that. That's crazy. Go dip in the Jordan tent. Why would I do that? And his servant said, what do you got to lose, dude? Go do it. And he went and did it. And he was healed from leprosy completely. Came up the last time. His skin was perfect, like a baby's skin, they said. All new and fresh skin. You have to, when you believe it and you speak it, there's going to be an act. You have to act on your faith. There's going to be some action you have to put to it, just like she did. You know, we talked about David and King David, how he acted on his faith, and we're going to get to that here in just a minute. But I'm going to talk about God's part in this. I want to say something to you. God never fails on his part. It's done. It's finished. Do you know he's already done everything he's going to do for you and me? Jesus said it's finished. He said it's finished. He said it's finished. He's already accomplished everything. He's already done his part completely. He's just waiting for us to believe it and begin to speak it out of our mouth and begin to act like it's true. Begin to act like what he's promised and what he says is real. That it's not a game, it's not a myth, it's not a fairy tale. And keep, how long do you keep acting? Till it manifests. If you understand how much he loves you and you trust him, you're going to keep acting till it manifests. Amen? In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, it says this. For with God, nothing will be impossible. God always does his part. Nothing will be impossible to him. He always does his part. Go with me to Joshua 21:45. It says this. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Another translation of that verse says, God never fails. He never fails. Everything he promised he'll do. He said, I've given you my word. And he said, I watch over my word to perform it. He's waiting for someone to touch him like this woman for power to be released. Power to be released to heal, to deliver, to help, to encourage, you name it, whatever. He has 5,000 promises in the Bible. All the Old Testament promises are ours, the Bible says. And the New Testament promises, which are better, are ours too. That's what Pastor Sean was talking about. We have better promises. We have their promises and better promises because of Jesus. God never fails, and he does. He watches over his word. Listen to this. Go with me to Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. He is the Lord. He does not change. Do you know God never changes? You say, well, that's kind of boring. Oh, no, it's not. Because he's always dynamic. He's always powerful. He's always creating. He's always doing something new and awesome. He never changes in doing that. And when he promised, he said, I'm never going to change. You know, the reason he keeps reminding, he says it over and over in Scripture that he doesn't change. It says about Jesus that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why does he keep reminding us of that? So that we know we can count on him. We know we can count on him. People change. They're fickle. They change their emotions. They change their mind. Just going out to eat with my family, when we had all six kids and my wife and I, oh my goodness. That was like herding cats, man, just to pick a place to eat because somebody didn't like it and somebody didn't want it. And then they wanted it and then they changed their mind. Do you know they have a restaurant in Oklahoma called, what is it called, Julie? I Don't Care. That's the name of the restaurant, I Don't Care. So if you say to your wife, where do you want to eat? She says, I don't care. That's where you go. Did you not? It's good food too. But it's big letters. I don't care. I don't care restaurant. So if she says that to you, just drive right there. We've eaten there. I thought it was a smart name. Because how many times have we heard that? I don't care. Then you say, okay, let's go here. Not that. I don't feel like that. What do you feel like? I don't care. Well, how about that? Well, let's go here. I had that 2 days ago. You don't want that either? No. Where do you want to go? I don't care. God cares. He doesn't change. He's not fickle. He's not fickle. He doesn't change. He can find the ketchup in the refrigerator. Men. I don't know if any of you like that, but I'll look in the fridge and say, Julie, we're out of ketchup. She'll come and say, no, we're not. It's right here in front of you, aren't you? He sees all. He knows all. He cares. He cares. He said, cast your cares on me because I care for you. He won't change that. He loves you. He cares about you. He's made promises that you can carve in stone because they're not going to, those promises are not going to change. He said all of his promises are yes. And we say the amen. He's waiting for someone to say amen. He's waiting to say, God, you said yes already. So be it, God, done unto me. He's waiting for someone with the spirit of faith that will believe it in their heart, get it in their heart that he promised, speak it out of their mouth, and then act on it. Act when it's time to act. He's waiting for that because he doesn't change. He's never going to change. He watches over his word. He's always doing what he said he will do. You know, there's only three things that God cannot do. He cannot lie, he cannot change, and he cannot allow sinners in heaven. If for all of you say, well, I'm a sinner. Well, if you're still a sinner, you're not going to heaven. You maybe once were a sinner. Now, God didn't call you a sinner. He called you his beloved. He never once starts a book of the Bible with, hey, you sinners that go to the church. He calls you the beloved, brothers and sisters in Christ. He calls you sons and daughters. He calls you saints. He calls you believers. You once were a sinner saved by grace. But sinners don't go to heaven. So when people say, you know, we're all just sinners, I say, well, I'm not. Sinners don't go to heaven. And they're like, what do you mean by that? I'm like, what I mean by that is Jesus died for my sins. I'm no longer a sinner. I no longer wake up and pursue sin. I might sin, but I'm not pursuing sin. I'm not a sinner. It's not my nature anymore. He's changed our very nature that we want to do right, not wrong. We're no longer. He doesn't call us that. But only he can't allow people. There's only things he cannot do. One of them is he cannot change. He cannot go back on his word. He never will go back on his word. He will honor his word. Always. Why am I harping on this? Because, man, I want us all to believe him. When he says he'll help you, he'll help you. When he says he'll comfort you, he'll comfort you. When he says he'll deliver you, he'll deliver you. When he said he'll bless you, he'll bless you. When he says he'll transform your heart, your mind, your life, he'll do it because he promised to do it. He's just waiting for someone to believe him to do it. He wants someone to touch him and power to go out. He wants someone to begin to speak. I have your favor surround. He said in his word, he surrounds us with favor. He surrounds us with favor. I speak that over myself, my family, and all the church family almost every day. God, I thank you. You surround us with favor. Everywhere we go, all my brothers and sisters in Christ at Church on the Move, everywhere we go, my family, we're surrounded by favor. Your favor goes before us. It's behind us. It's to the right and to the left. Your favor surrounds us. I speak healing. He said in Isaiah, he carried our sicknesses and our diseases. He bore our pain. I'm like, God, I get in agreement with the word. and begin to speak it. I remember one time Julie and I tried to sell the first house we ever bought. And our company, my company was moving me to Lubbock. And so they paid the real estate agent, which was awesome. And he came to us and said, he did an evaluation of the house. And he said, well, you're going to sell it for this much. I said, well, I owe more than that. He said, well, you're going to lose money. And I got mad. I said, I'm not going to lose money. He said, yes, you are. And I finally, I was mad in the natural. But, man, the more I heard him talk, I got in faith. When he was talking to me, I got in faith. I said, oh, no, I won't lose money. He said, I'm telling you right now, I'm not just a real estate agent. I'm an accountant. I'm a CPA. And I'm telling you, you're going to lose money. You got to get prepared. I said, I'm telling you who I am. I'm not a CPA. I'm not a real estate broker. But I'm a blood-bought child of the Most High God, and I won't lose money on this house. That put him on tilt. He went, well, okay. I said, we're not going to lose money. And so we kept hitting all these obstacles, and he kept giving us bad news. But we got in faith. Julie and I got together. We prayed. We're not going to lose money. We're not going to lose any money on this house. It's not going to happen. And we began to speak. And every time he'd call and give us a negative report, you know, we began to speak, and people would offer us bad deals, and we'd say, no, I'm not taking that. He said, this is what I told you. I said, I don't care what you told me. I know what my God says. And again, it would always put him on tilt. He'd always get real quiet, say, well, okay, I'll tell him no. And then finally, someone offered us the right price that we weren't going to lose money. We're going to make about $5,000 or $6,000, as a matter of fact. And then he called back and said, well, I got good news and bad news. I said, what's the bad news? He said, well, the bad news is this guy does qualify to purchase the house, but he hasn't filed his taxes for 3 years. And he's got to get all completely caught up in his business because he's buying it for one of his grandkids, and he's got to get complete. So I don't know when this would ever close. I said, well, I'm sticking with God. Whatever. Man, I'm just believing God that somehow this will work out. I said, aren't you a CPA? He said, yeah. I said, man, my company's paying you. You're guaranteed your full commission. Why don't you help him out and put his taxes together? He said, I thought about that. He had. He's a smart fella. And he said, I thought about that. He said, let me get back to you. So he went and filed all 3 years of that guy's taxes. Charged him for it, made some money that way too. And then that guy bought our house, and we didn't lose any money. We made $6,000. I mean, guys, listen. And my emotions tried to take me all over the place because he was always negative. He was always telling us that ain't going to happen and this ain't going to happen. And I would speak back, and then I had to deal with my frustration and my emotions. But we just kept getting in faith and began to speak because we believed that God had promised. God, you promised me that everything I laid my hands to do will be blessed. I'm not losing money off this deal. You promised to bless me. I'm a tither. I'm a giver. I'm not just a tither. I'm a giver. I'm generous. I love you. You love me, and I know you're coming through. I just began to speak it, and as it got worse and worse and worse, we began to speak it more and more and more, and then it happened. Everything turned. We left there with $6,000. Enough money to get in. Back then, that was enough money to get into another house. God was so good to us. Blessed us. Opened that door. That's just one of many times that we had to get in faith. That's one of many times we had to get in faith. My first year here, we didn't have enough money to pay payroll. We had no money in the bank. People quit, left it. When my brother announced he was leaving and I was coming, that month in November that he announced that, people quit tithing, quit giving, and started leaving. By the time I got here in January, the church was broke. We didn't owe any money, but we didn't have a dime. We could not make payroll. Could not. There was no way that was going to happen. But you know what? Julie and I were just like, well, you know, if I have to get another job, I'll get a job. But I'm not quitting pastoring this church. We're not going to lay down and quit. God will come through one way or another. He's coming through. And guess what? We never missed a payroll. For 2 years we were like that. Ask Brother Richard. For 2 years we struggled like that. Never missed a payroll. Never missed a check. Never did not pay the people that work here. We made it, and God moved supernaturally to make that happen. I mean, he did crazy stuff. I mean, crazy stuff. That was just like out of the blue, like, what? What? Someone's given us what? I mean, crazy stuff. This office space across the way with the parking behind it, that was transported across Texas state lines. And it was illegally transported across state lines because they changed the paperwork and said that was a commercial building when that was a residential building. And you can't lie on those manifests and do this before I came here. My brother didn't know about it, but one of the elders did that. He's not here anymore. Ended up in jail, as a matter of fact. But he did that. And so the state one time came and inspected it and said, this is not a commercial building. You can't use it anymore. Matter of fact, I'm turning you into the state. So I wasn't here 3 months as the pastor. I knew nothing about any of this. And I get a subpoena to go to Santa Fe to appear before this board. Long story short, I appear a couple times before this panel, this commissioners, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. What? This is a residential building. It's supposed to be a commercial building. We're not supposed to be in it. They're threatening to kick us out of it. Fine us. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. I'm like, hold on a second. I just showed up. They interview me. I say, this is my answers. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I had to testify. My testimony the whole time was, I have no idea. I wasn't here. I didn't do any of it. And so, and the person that had done it was already in jail for something else. And so, man, it came down to it. I'm thinking, what are we going to do? We're not going to have any offices. We're in trouble. They might fine us. We have no money. What are we going to do? And then all of a sudden, the manufacturer of the motorhome, they had to be there too. He walks up to me and goes, how about $50,000? And I'm thinking, he wants me to pay him $50,000? So I played dumb. I said, what are you talking about? He said, how about we give you $50,000 and we make this whole thing go away? I'm like, I don't know, let me think about it for a second. I don't know, 50? I think we ended up at 60. We negotiated because I'm thinking, there's something. Something's in my favor here. I don't know what it is, but something's in my favor. And then the commission, I said, why are you offering me this? He said, because the commission said they'll make this whole thing go away if I just pay you money. I'm like, so it goes away, no fines, no problems, no issues if you give me money. I'm like, I thought this was the worst thing that ever happened to me right here, but this turned out, God turned it around for good. They gave us the money, and guess what we did? We paid payroll for several months. Praise God. I mean, he moved. I mean, guys, he did stuff like that. Why? Because, man, we refused to give up. The elders and I, we got together. Julie and I, we prayed. The staff and I, we prayed. We just got in faith. We began to get in faith and say, God, you said, you promised you'd take care of your church. You promised that you'd take care of us. You promised you'd come through. You said you never change. I remember a man, his name is Kenneth Hagin, great teacher of the word. Of faith, the spirit of faith. And he was laying in a bed in South Texas. He had a rare heart disease, rare blood disease. This is in the 1930s. He's in bed at his house. The doctors have already told his mama he ain't gonna live much longer. He was real healthy up until about 14 or 15. And all of a sudden this hit him and he ended up bedridden. And he'd been bedridden, I think, for a year. He didn't have enough energy to even get up and walk to the kitchen and eat dinner. He couldn't even walk 10 steps. So he just quit. He just laid in bed. And then he read the story. He was reading his Bible one day, and he read this story about the woman with the issue of blood. He said, I have an issue of blood. I have a rare blood disease. I have a heart condition that's robbed me of all my strength, all my energy. It's robbing me of my life. He's a teenager laying in bed. The doctors had written, told his mama, he's going to die soon. You guys just need to love him. 1936. He read this. And he said, hold on a second. I heard Jesus is a healer too. She began to speak. So he began to speak. He said, blood condition, you have to go in Jesus' name. Heart condition, you have to go in Jesus' name. He sat in bed and said that. I mean, if he was awake, he was speaking it. He said, if you did it for the woman with the issue of blood, when she spoke, and you're going to do it for me. And then one day he said, you know what? I'm missing a piece. I got to act on this. So he got up and started walking around his bed. This is a true story. He got up and started walking around his bed. He said, she had to act and touch his hip, I'm going to act. So she started walking around. He started walking around the bed. And then one day he walked all the way out in the kitchen. Then the day came. The day came. He woke up and he was totally, completely healed. He never, his mama freaked out because he got up and walked in the kitchen, sat down like he was back, you know. Said, Mom, you got any food? Yeah, I'm hungry. He started eating. He didn't have much of an appetite. He ate little, very little. I mean, he was skin and bones. And all of a sudden, he started recovering. And all of a sudden, man, all of it's gone. He knew it. He said, Mom, I'm healed. I'm telling you, Jesus healed me. I know I'm healed. And he just began to live his life. That's why he began to speak on the spirit of faith and build a whole Bible school in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma called Rhema. And he's written books on the spirit of faith because he sat in that bed dying and began to speak and began to believe, then began to act. Exactly what that woman did, he did because he believed in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and that God loved him and that God spoke it and God did it, and so he would do it for him. 1936 with no hope. No medical science could, nothing could help him. Just like this woman. But Jesus. Jesus can help. Jesus can change. Jesus can do the impossible. But he's waiting for someone with that same spirit of faith that'll get the word in their heart and in their mouth and begin to act on their faith. Just begin to act on their faith. I'm not done teaching on this. I'm going to teach on this for a while, guys. I'm going to keep teaching on it till we grab a hold of it. I'm going to stick on this subject on Wednesdays for a while. Because God wants, He already said he wanted to do it. He's waiting on us. So if you're facing a situation, an obstacle, some Goliath, some mountains in your way, I want to encourage you, stir up your faith and begin to speak. God provides all my needs according to his riches and glory. I need this. I need that. God, these are needs. I need something to happen here. He said he'll give me all the desires of my heart if I delight in his word. And if I commit my ways to him, he'll bring it to pass. God, you said not only will you meet my needs, you'll give me the desires of my heart. My wants, some of the wants I have. I'm talking about the wants that line up with his word. Amen. He wants to move. We're not waiting on God. He's waiting on his people to actually believe in him and trust in him that he loves us and he cares about us. And he promised to do it. He promised it. Let's believe him. Is anybody's faith stirred up? My faith is stirred up. My faith is, I hope your faith is stirred up. Like if we keep clapping, will you be quiet in the service? Yeah. Let's pray. If you'll close your eyes with me here and online. I want to speak to those who, man, you've never yielded. You've never really believed in your heart. You've never confessed out of your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. So funny, and in the Word, and in James, it says that Even the demons tremble before God, but they don't believe in God. They know he's who he says he is, but they haven't surrendered their life to him. So you might even tremble at his name. You might even respect him, but you've not surrendered your life to him. You've not said, Jesus, you're the Lord. I surrender to you. I believe in you, that you're the Lord, Jesus Christ. You're the anointed one. You're the only way to heaven is through you. The only way to having a life and a purpose and a destiny in this life is through you. The only way to have a relationship with God Almighty, the Father, is through you. And I surrender to you because I believe in you. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose from the dead. I believe you love me that much. If you've never prayed that and done that, man, this is your moment and this is your time. Or maybe you're the prodigal son or daughter that you've ran off, you've forsaken God. God, there's so many. I'm seeing so many do that right now. Man, the world has so enticed them and pulled them, and they've just given in to their own desires, of evil desires of their heart, and never let God deal with stuff. And man, come on back home and let God help you and deal with that thing that keeps on pulling you out away from him and out of the body of Christ and out of relationship with him. If you're here today, you're watching online, and that's you, let's pray. Get it right tonight. Ask him to help you. So whether it's your first time or your next time, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to count to three, and online, I'm going to ask you to send us a message. Hey, I'm praying for the first time or the next time. In this room, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand boldly and high. Say, it's me. I'm going to get right with God tonight. And then we're going to pray. That's the second thing. So here we go. One, two, three. Raise your hand and say, it's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All around. Thank you all. Thank you. God bless you. Well, let's pray with all these online and all these here. Let's pray with them, church. Say this with me. Say, God, I believe you are God and God alone, that you love me and you sent Jesus to die for my sins. You raised him from the dead because you love him and you love me. You did all of that to rescue me and anyone else that would believe in you. I believe in you. And because I do, I ask that you forgive me of all my sins. All the times I've disobeyed you. And I receive your forgiveness. You said in your word that you throw my sins into the sea of forgetfulness and remember them no more. Thank you for forgiving me. Jesus, I say to you, you are the Lord Jesus Christ of my life. I surrender my life to you. And I thank you, you surrendered your life for me. And I ask you now, by your Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives in me, in your word, you teach me how to serve you and how to fulfill the purpose, the destiny for which I was created, and to live a life that blesses you and blesses others. In Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. Come on, let's thank God for how good he is.
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like to find out more about Church on the Move, like our service times or how you can connect with us, you can visit cotmroswell.com.